Good evening. Welcome back to Hilchos Tofer, sewing on Shabbos. I hope you had a good week or whatever. I think, it's only been a week. And next week is regular, right? Nothing happening next week. All the fun stuff has passed. Okay, so Purim is coming. Don't worry. Purim is coming. So let's start reminding ourselves what we talked about last week. We said that there was one of the 39 malachas in the Mishkan was tofer, sewing, and the sewing occurred in the Mishkan when they sewed together the bolts of fabric for the ohel, for the roof of the Mishkan. And we also pointed out that even though in the Mishkan they actually had sewing, like with a needle and thread, but sewing, the malach of tofer is not limited to needles and thread, it also would apply to taping paper together, gluing papers together, stapling things together, perhaps even gluing solids together, like pieces of wood together, and sticking stickers. All those things basically fall under the criteria of tofer as described by the Mishnah Berurah, that tofer is taking two things that are separate and bringing them together in somewhat of a permanent fashion. Tonight we're going to talk about what if it's not so permanent. That's going to be tonight's discussion. But continuing our discussion of our review of last week, we pointed out if you have a loose thread to tighten it, or a button that's loose to tighten a thread, even though you're not doing sewing with a needle and a thread, you're not going in and out, you're just pulling a thread, that would also constitute a violation, an issur d'oraisa actually, of sewing. We pointed out that those things that are not, that don't really unite two pieces of fabric into one. For example, zippers and Velcro and what else do you say? Buttons and snaps. All those things, even though they connect different parts of a baguette, but they do not turn them into one. And therefore, all those things are permitted, even if it's for long-term snapping together. So, for example, if you wanted to zipper your insulation to your winter coat and leave it there for the next 4 months, that would be mutter, as we pointed out. I just, for honesty purposes, I did find one opinion who says that that's not going to be okay. Rav Vosner, one of the great gadolim that we have in Bnei Brak, still alive. I think he was, I think I mentioned last week, he was in the Yeshiva Chachmei, no, I mentioned some other time. He was in the Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin in Europe that was destroyed by the Nazis, and then he reestablished, you know, a yeshiva under the same name in Bnei Brak. Do you know what the entrance examinations for Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin were? That means the lowest common denominator, not the good guys. The lowest common denominator, I mean, in order to just get into the yeshiva and be at the bottom rung, you have to know 500 blot bal peh. So I don't know anybody in all my travels in yeshivas that know 500 blot bal peh. That was the lowest common denominator of Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. And those of you who might have been in Europe might have visited there. And if you were there, it was not the smallest building either. So apparently there were more than three people in this yeshiva. There were 100 or 200 or 300 all. So he was one of the remainders of that generation. So he actually holds that if you're going to put something, an insulation, a jack, and leave it there for good, for in a permanent sense, like for months, a hood, let's say I was going through my kid's closet, and I found the hood from that jacket. I knew the jacket, I knew it had a hood, but the hood was nowhere to be found. We found the hood, So now we finally reunited the hood with the jacket, put it on, and it's going to stay there now, hopefully. So that, I told you, was mutter, but according to you should just know, Rav Vosner, who I just mentioned from Europe, now in Bnei Brak, he actually holds that it would be a problem to zip something if it's going to be there for long term. But I don't think that's the common. The common psak is that it is permitted, even if it will be for long term, because zipping is not considered uniting two pieces of fabric to become one. It's just connecting them until you disconnect them. Then, the second half of last week's shiur, we talked about safety pins, and we talked about the assistant chief rabbi of Prague. The Korban Asanel said that he doesn't understand why the women of Prague put their stick needles, into their clothing on Shabbos, because if you stick it in twice, right, in and back in again, that would be like sewing two stitches, which is problematic. So we saw that the Chazon Ish is lenient regarding using safety pins. We saw that Igros Moshe is lenient regarding safety pins. And the reasons that they gave, that Moshe gave, is that the whole point, as we mentioned 2 minutes ago, tofer, the issur of sewing, is to unite a fabric to become one. When you safety pin something together, You're connecting them. Connecting is not the issue. The issue is uniting them to become one. When you use a safety pin, even if it's to hem a dress or to hem a pants cuffs in my case, so that's not uniting the two pieces of fabric. It's just holding them together so they look like they're together. But you're not uniting them to become one. That's the reason that Moshe Feinstein gave to permit safety pins on Shabbos. And Velcro also is another thing that's permitted, and that was a review of last week. What I want to talk about today, as I mentioned, is going to be sewing things together, or at least attaching things together, in a non-permanent kind of fashion, and you're going to see that there are going to be a lot of applications. First of all, stick-its, you know, those post-its or stick-its that you have, the little yellow notepads put out by 3M. Then we have a discussion about Band-Aids and diapers, believe it or not. We'll talk about all the issues that could arise in terms of sticking things together for temporary lengths of time. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvarav.
Amen.
So, the discussion begins with a Mordechai. Mordechai is one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim. He was actually killed in Nuremberg. Nuremberg, you've heard of the Nuremberg trials? So in Nuremberg, in the end of the 1200s, there was a massacre, and the Mordechai and his family, and he married also the daughter of one of the other Baalei Tosfos, Rabbi Yechiel Miparis, was an important Rishon. So they and their family were killed in Nuremberg, Germany. He was in the generation, the Mordechai was Ashkenazi, and you've heard of Maharami Rotenberg. Maharami Rotenberg is the one who got kidnapped and held hostage and didn't allow himself to be redeemed, because the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to redeem a Jewish captive for more than their value. So the emperor, Ferdinand, or whoever the emperor was at that time, wanted to hold him for ransom for an incredible amount of money, and he refused to allow the Jewish community to redeem him. So he had the Rush as one Talmud. The Rush, after his Rebbe, the Maharami Rotenberg, was captured, the Rush, the Talmud, realized that he might be next. So that's when the Rush fled and moved from Ashkenaz, that was Austria or Germany or France area, to Sfard. And that's when the Rush actually, although the Rush was an Ashkenazi posik, he sort of converted to Sfard because of this episode that he realized he would be next to be captured by the government. So that same, just like the Rush was a Talmud of Maharami Rotenberg, another one of the Talmudim, the contemporaries of the Rush, was the Mordechai, also Ashkenazi, and he ended up being killed. So the Mordechai talks about the following situation, which is something that we did discuss quickly last week. You remember last week we talked about the sleeves that have a drawstring on it, and we talked about hoods and hoodies. So Mordechai was the first one to talk about that, and he says that if you have this string that goes through, again, those who weren't here last week, there was some kind of sleeve, like puffy sleeves. At the bottom of the puffy sleeve, there was a string that you would draw the string, a drawstring, to tie in the sleeves so that you could, you know, get the garment on or off. And then once it was on, you'd pull it tight, it would stay there. So the Mordechai writes that it's usher to pull that drawstring around the sleeve. Now, what do you see from that? It's clear. How long do you intend for that drawstring to be closed? As long as you're wearing it. And then when you're not going to be wearing it, you're going to loosen it and then take the thingy off and then put it on again tomorrow. So we're clearly talking about saying it's temporary. And yet, the Mordechai says that it's usher to pull. So what do you see from this Mordechai? You see that if there is a kind of sewing or a kind of attaching something that is temporary, it should be considered usur. That's what the Mordechai, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. The Shulchan Aruch writes that if you have these things that you, again, maybe, I'm not sure if we mentioned that a hoodie, you know, the drawstring in a hoodie is a little different because it's a whole channel designed specially to hold the drawstring that you could sort of, you know, I remember there was Calvin and Hobbes? Maybe. Or some other comic. So, it's a picture of Calvin as the kid, right? Calvin the kid, Hobbes is the...
Tiger.
The one? Tiger, thank you. So, you see Calvin pulling something from his ear on this side. Then you see him pulling something from the ear on the other side.
Then Hobbes looks at him funny and says, "What in the world are you doing?" So Calvin replies, "Mental floss." So that's the picture of, you know, the drawstring. So if there's a separate channel, that we said is Mutter. But if there's no separate channel, so the Mordechai Ashkenazi says it's Asur to do, and the Shulchan Aruch passings like that, Ashkenazi Mordechai, that it's Asur to tighten the sleeves. Sounds like the Shulchan Aruch rules that it is prohibited to do an act of connecting something, of tightening something, of sewing something, even if it's temporary. If we would stop here, and we're not, it would seem that it would be prohibited to use post-its. It would probably be prohibited to put a diaper on a baby. It would be, right? You're putting the sticky things for temporary usage. It would be prohibited to put a Band-Aid on Shabbos, because there might be other issues we'll talk about soon. All those things are putting temporary things together. Just like, again, I understand glue is different than pulling a string to tie something together. But we learned 10 minutes ago that in the rules of tofer, of sewing, tofer is any time you connect separated things, you connect them, that's called sewing, whether it's with glue or with string. Sounds like it should be aser. However, the question is, what do us Ashkenazim do? Because the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. And the Ramah, when he hears the Shulchan Aruch say that it's aser to pull that string around the base of the drawstring around the base of the sleeve, the Ramah is silence. And usually silence is acquiescence, or in Gemara terms, shtika kehoda, that he's agreeing and that he also holds that it would be aser. However, here we have to introduce ourselves to an important concept, a sign that we might learn maybe in the next few months. In the Malach of Kosher, not kosher, when I was writing the word in my notes, I don't type it in Hebrew, so I type in English. So I typed kosher, and it doesn't sound good, because it sounds like I'll get confused, like if I look at my notes in a few weeks or months or years. So I had to type kosher, K-O-S-H, not E-R, but E-I-R. So in the Malach of Kosher, of tying knots, as opposed to matir, which is not becoming permitted, but untying, which is the root of the word for being permitted. So in the Malach of Kosher, there's a distinction between a kesher shel kayama, a permanent knot, and a kesher she'ena shel kayama, and a non-permanent knot. You all know that you could tie your shoes in a bow tie. I was actually talking to Rabbi Schefter a few weeks ago, and my son is at the age where he knows how to tie knots, and he has, you know, shoes that aren't Velcro, they're real ties. He's in third grade now. But if you don't tie a double knot, then they come out. So Rabbi Schefter said that since when you tie those double knots, you intend to take them out, and they're going to, even those double knots come out a little bit, not just nearly as often as the single knots that he would tie. Rabbi Schefter told me that it might even be mutter to tie and untie a double knot on Shabbos, because that's still not a kesher shel kayama. It's not a permanent knot. It's a knot that's your intent, that your 100% intent is to take apart and to redo and to take apart and redo. So that is all an idea that we are familiar with and we know to be true by kosher. The malach of tying knots only applies to permanent knots, but not to temporary knots. The question that we have to discuss is can we extrapolate that leniency from kosher? Just like you could tie a knot that's a temporary knot, could I also glue together or sew together regarding the malach of tofer? So the malachas of kosher and tofer, they're both malachas that talk about connecting things, but they're two different malachas. Do I have the right to apply that leniency that kosher, if it's not permanent, is going to be mutter? So too, by what I'm talking about tofer, sewing, that will also be permitted if it's only for temporary time spans. So here, we have a very interesting Ramah. The Ramah, who we follow, brings two opinions. First, he says, you know what? When we talk about sewing, which is our discussion, there's no distinction whether it's shel kayama or not shel kayama. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Shabbos, Shin Yud Zayin 317, Seif Gimel 317.3. The Ramah says that there's no difference whether it's permanent or not permanent. When you're in the world of sewing, or attaching, or gluing, or stapling, I don't care how long it's going to be, I don't care how short it's going to be, it's always going to be aser. Even temporary attaching, temporary gluing, it's going to be aser. If we stop there, then all the things that we mentioned, diapering babies on Shabbos and putting on band-aids on Shabbos and post-its are going to be on Shabbos are going to be usher. Then the next line says, but yesh matirin, there are those who permit tfira, sewing, that is not permanent. And what is the Rama rule? What does he conclude? And he brings them two opinions, he brings them machlokas, and he says, you could do it, but not in front of an Am Haaretz. Not in front of an ignorant person. What does that mean? As far as I know, halacha says it's mutter, it's not mutter. Where do you see that it's mutter, but not in front of somebody who is ignorant? What? Maris Ayin. The halacha says it's mutter.
Yeah, but someone that doesn't know anything may think, oh, it's mutter, even for
permanent. Exactly. The point of somebody who is ignorant or not ignorant is that they're not going to realize that there's a distinction between they see somebody with a needle and a thread, they see somebody with glue, they see somebody with a sticker, they see somebody with a diaper, they say, oh, you're going to stick the diaper together, you're going to stick the band-aid together, so you're allowed to glue things on Shabbos. They don't realize that fine point, that subtle point that all of you and I realize, because we're all big Tamidot Chachamot, yes? And they won't realize that distinction. So therefore, it's mutter, but you shouldn't do it in front of ignorant people. So what is the Ramah coming out with saying? The Ramah seems to be telling me that it is permitted to do a temporary sewing or gluing. As long as people are knowledgeable, it is permitted. I have one problem. Do you remember what I told you the Ramah's silence screamed to me 5 minutes ago? Do you remember when the Shulchan Aruch ruled that when you have the drawstring on the shirt, which is certainly temporary, it's aser, and what did the Ramah say there? Nothing. So what did we assume the Ramah meant by saying nothing? I agree. And therefore it would be aser to do this temporary sewing. But yet what is this Ramah telling me, same person? Here he's saying that Meikra, he brings two opinions, but he says Meikra didn't really, it should be mutter, it should be permitted to tie or glue or sew if it's temporary. So what are we going to do? Well, we have the way to deal with this contradiction, seeming contradiction between the silence of the Ramah on one hand, which sounds like temporary sewing is aser, and what he actually does articulate clearly, that it's mutter, is actually machlokas achronim, what the halacha should be regarding temporary sewing. And that is unfortunately going to be the bottom line. It is a gigantic machlokas, whether or not temporary sewing, temporary gluing is mutter or is aser. And therefore, all the questions that we talked about are on some level going to be a machlokas. Everyone agrees that if it's temporary sewing, I take that back. We have a machlokas whether or not something that's temporary, glued, sewed, is going to be permitted, l'chatchila, or it's going to be aser. Because we just don't know how to understand this contradiction in the Ramah. So, I want to share with you some thoughts that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was cited as saying in the Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa. He's talking, among other things, which we'll talk about more at depth, we'll talk about band-aids in a minute, but he's talking about, think about potato chip bags. Whenever, we mentioned last week that there are some sister malachas, right? Brother sister malachas or cousin malachas, right? There's tying and untying, there's building and dismantling, there's sewing and ripping apart, tofer and korea, there's kosev and mochek, writing and erasing, there's igniting a fire, putting out a fire. So wherever there's going to be tofer sewing, there's going to be the inverse, which is korea, tearing. Are you allowed to tear apart the top of your potato chip bag on Shabbos? So we all do. We all do. The question is, what?
If
I avoid the riding, that's going to be a different issue of mochek, right? So, I don't know if you have to destroy the bag. If you destroy the bag, you're assuming boxes are a different story. That's another discussion, not for now. But as far as bags are concerned, what happened? When they glued that bag together, what was going through Mr. Wise's, he's a wise man, right? What was going through Mr. Wise's mind when he glued the top of those Wise potato chips?
It's going to be opened.
Meaning he glued it so that it will be opened. So is that considered temporary or is that considered permanent?
Temporary.
It's been in the store for the bodega for 5 months. You buy in other stores, ShopRite maybe for a week or two, but the bodega has been there for 5 months. So it's certainly been there for a very long time. But what was his mind? Since in his mind, the whole how can we prove that his purpose is for it to be opened? Let's say when he glued it together, he didn't want it to be opened. Then he wouldn't be able to sell his product. So it's obvious from the fact that he wants to sell you these bags of potato chips that you could eat, that he wants you to open them. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman says that that svara itself, for the fact that you want it to be opened, that shows that the glue is only there for what purpose? Not to attach the top one to another, but rather just to prevent the potato chips from falling out. Prevent the freshness from escaping. But not because you wanted to glue these two lips of the potato bag together, potato chip bag together. Do you hear the difference? There's a subtle point. My goal is not to attach two things. My goal is to make sure potato chips and freshness don't fall out of the top of the mouth of the bag. And therefore, since the intent is not to glue it together, and the intent is not to be stay that way, because you want it to be able to be opened, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that won't be considered a permanent kind of attaching. And in the same way it's not considered a permanent kind of attaching, what will also be permitted to do? Deattach it, to rip it apart. Therefore it will be mutter on Shabbos, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, to rip it apart. We'll talk on more points about what Rav Shlomo Zalman says in this piece as we continue to discuss band-aids. Regarding band-aids, there are three potential issues. There's opening the wrapper, the outside wrapper, and then there's taking off, you know, I just put a band-aid on my son a few minutes ago. There's the white things that don't stick, the white non-sticky things, we'll call them tabs, that you put over the sticky part of the band-aid to keep it sticky. And then, of course, are you allowed to take those off? That's the second issue. And the third issue is actually applying the band-aid to wrap it and attach it to stick it and glue it to my body. Those are the three issues. So let's talk about those three issues one at a time. So opening the wrappers, that's entirely mutter without any questions. As long as you avoid ripping the lettering, that for a different issue, for mochi concerns, for erasing issues, that's important to keep in mind. But opening wrappers to get what you need inside, that's going to be totally permitted. The next issue is going to be removing the white tabs. This, believe it or not, is the most significant issue to discuss, and it is the most lengthy issue that is discussed by the poskim. What is the nature of you taking that white tab off the sticky part of the band-aid? If I would tell you the following, that my daughter Ariella took some stickers and put them on a piece of paper, is that allowed to be done on Shabbos? That's classical tofer, like we learned last week. That's gluing. The Rambam told us that tofer is not just sewing, but it's gluing papers together. So sticker on a piece of paper, it's gluing. That's glue on the bottom of the sticker. That's clearly tofer. That's maybe it's even tofer d'oraisa. I don't know. Something to think about. But that's clearly tofer. That's sewing. That's attaching. That's gluing papers together. Are you allowed to take a sticker off? Well, if you're not allowed to put a sticker on, you clearly, 100% without question, not allowed to take that sticker off. So why should this white tab be any different?
How is that different than opening up the outer thing in the band-aid?
Okay, so that's what we have to talk about. You're saying that Rav Shlomo Zalman, who a minute ago said, the wrapper, I'm sorry?
Yeah, how is it different?
Oh, the wrapper, you're just ripping it apart. Ripping it apart.
But isn't that the same thing as ripping?
No, because here you're separating something that was glued together. Ripping it apart, destroying something to get to that which is inside, is sort of a separate halacha than disgluing things that were glued together. Ungluing, I'm sorry, not disgluing. Ungluing things that were glued together. So give me a minute. Hold on 1 second. So when we take off that plastic tab, that should be like ripping off a sticker from a piece of paper. If putting a sticker on a piece of paper is a malacha, so taking a sticker off the piece of paper is the opposite of that, which is korea, which is tearing off. And that should theoretically be a problem. That's exactly what Rabbi Yashiv says. Rabbi Yashiv says that white tab is glued on, and it's glued on to be there for months and months and months, as long as it's in the box and the company and the Rite Aid and wherever else, it's there for months, and therefore it's permanent. But we also says it's permanent, that tab is there permanently, it's there for months,
and it's glued together, and it's usher to take those white tabs off the band-aids on Shabbos. So that's a big chumra. I think the minhag is not like that chumra of Reb Elyashu that I just told you. Rather, and I'll tell you a thought that Reb Nissen Karelitz, also one of the Gedolim in Bnei Brak, suggests. What's the difference between a sticker, a princess sticker that you stick onto a piece of paper, and the white tabs on the adhesive part of a band-aid? What's the difference?
Intention,
that's true. Besides intention?
You can't use the band-aid without taking the tabs off.
Why should that make a difference?
Because the sticker, there's no real reason for doing it on top. The band-aid you need to put on your skin.
So you're saying that when you manufacture a band-aid, you want the stickers to come off? As opposed to when you put a sticker on a paper, you want the sticker to be on the paper.
Right.
So your intention perhaps might make it more temporary. Your intention to put this white thing on the band-aid makes it more of a temporary sticker.
Maybe the chole's status.
The what status?
The status of the
chole. Like, oh, chole. That would only apply if a person is genuinely a chole. And we'd have to figure out, that would be a different shear to figure out whether the person has a din of a chole or not. Not every person who needs a band-aid is a chole. Especially when kids, and you're very familiar with, you know, four-year-olds who, you know, I stubbed my toe, I need a Band-Aid. Or my friend stubbed the toe and he got a Band-Aid, so I also need a Band-Aid. So.
Do you have to determine that?
What?
Do you have to determine the status?
Well, whenever you deal with, if you're going to say that it's only mutter because if somebody's a chola, you have to determine if that person is a chola or not. There are halachas to what defines a chola. Yeah. A person's only allowed to take medicine if they're a certain level of chola. If I have a little bit low-grade headache, I can't take Tylenol or Advil on Shabbos. If I have a headache, that's a bad headache, a migraine, something that I have to lie down for, I'm not functioning properly, that's a different level of a chol that I'm allowed to take medicine for. But yeah, there are levels, yeah.
Maybe the purpose of the sticker is not to be stuck to the band-aid, but it's just to preserve.
Exactly. That's exactly what Nissen Karel says. Taking what you're saying, but with a little added wrinkle. So Nissen Karel says that this is the opposite of gluing something together. When you glue something together, you want it to be together. Here, when you put that, when they, Mr. Band-Aid, Mr. Johnson & Johnson, Mr. Johnson, I guess, yeah. Mr. Johnson puts that white tab on the adhesive, what does he want? He doesn't want it to stick together. In fact, the whole reason why he puts that white thing there is so that?
Sticking together.
So that it won't stick to anything else. You put this thing, that won't stick. Is there any stickiness on the white thing? No, because you don't want it to, you just want it to preserve. It's only there to cover and preserve the stickiness so that you could stick that Band-Aid whenever you will need to stick it eventually. But it itself is not to be stuck, the Band-Aid, to the white tab. And therefore, Reb Nissen Karel, it says that was never glued together. It's just, he plays a funny game. He says it's not glued together, it's just resting on top. It's sort of just, it's not sticky, it's not supposed to stay there. It's just resting on top of something that's sticky. That's different than sticking something, gluing things together. You're just resting something on top of a sticky surface to keep, the sticky surface intact when you're going to need its stickiness at a later time. So just halacha ma'aseh before I take a question, Michal. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings a sort of a compromise. I told you Rabbi Yashiv holds that these tabs are here for a long time and it's glued together. You're not allowed to open those tabs on Shabbos. And I told you Nissen Karel, it says they're not glued together, just resting on top of stickiness. That's not called glued. The Shmir Shas Kilchasa, and this is what I would suggest, sort of, has the following distinction. He says, Lichatchila, if you know you're going to be in a situation that you're going to be using band-aids on Shabbos, and sometimes you know that, let's say, you person had a procedure or whatever else, and they know they're going to be, you need a band-aid, so it is better to take off those white tabs before Shabbos. But if you didn't, which is often the case, or, for example, if the whole reason why we have band-aids packed in sterile packages is because we don't want to have infection, and there's, again, this depends on the kind of injury or wound that you're dealing with. If there's a serious concern for infection or you just really need a band-aid, then it will be permitted to take off those tabs if you didn't do it before Shabbos. So again, halacha l'maisa, it does seem that if you know you're going to need a band-aid on Shabbos, and the amount of contamination that happens by the air touching it. Again, we're not talking about people putting their hands on the on the you know, the gauze area. But if the amount of contamination that's going to get in, if the air, if it's open to air, will not be good for your wound, okay, so do it on Shabbos. But if you could do it before Shabbos, that is better. So maybe it's even wise to, you know, when you get home tonight, to undo two Band-Aids so that you just have them, you know, take the tabs off and put the tabs back on, and now you know that they're not permanent and they're able to be taken off. They'll be waiting for you next time you need it on Shabbos. Hopefully you never will. But again, if somebody does need the tabs to be taken out on Shabbos, it is mutter near Shabbos Kilchasa. Does allow if necessary. Yes, Michal. Yeah, you're making a very good point. According to the logic that Rav Nissen Karel said, that the white sticky parts of the Band-Aid are really just resting there, not to stick together, but they're not glued together, just to hold the adhesive available. So when you have your sticker book that you bought from the store, from Amazing Savings, of course, for 99 cents, you pull that sticker off the white, shiny, glossy paper that you all know what I'm talking about, where the stickers come on. That should not really be ripping, because it was never glued there. It was just sitting, resting there, so that it could be pulled off. I hear what you're saying. That would be an extension of Rav Nissen Kralitz's logic. That's a good point. That's what I'm suggesting. That's what I'm saying that you should do. Halacha l'maisa, if you have the forethought before Shabbos and you know you're going to need a Band-Aid on Shabbos, you take the tabs off, put the tabs back on, and you have your detabbed. I mean, you can't just take off the white tab and leave it. Otherwise, you'll ruin the Band-Aid. So that's what I'm suggesting. You take off the white tabs before Shabbos, if you can. At least have a Band-Aid or two available like this. Take the tabs off before Shabbos. Put the tabs on again. Now it's definitely not permanent. It's definitely not there for good. It's to go on and off. They're not really stuck together. And then on Shabbos, if you'll need, you'll just take the tabs off, and they've already been taken off, so it'll be Matan. Yeah. Excellent question. I wasn't going to talk about it, but magnets are mutter.
Yeah.
Magnets are mutter. Yes, excellent question. All the poskim do talk about it. They do say that magnets, even though you are connecting, they are touching and they're connecting. I didn't see anyone explain why. Clearly, maybe they did, I just didn't read it. Probably because the issue with tofer is that you're connecting things to make them one on some level. Magnets, yes, they touch. Yes, they connect. Yes, they stick together, but they're not united to become one in any which way. That's what I would assume is the reason why magnets are mutter, but magnets are always mutter. The only issue, and this is a discussion that we had when we were learning Bona, a year ago, we learned that when you connect something to a part of the house, that could be considered Bona. So the fridge is a large appliance that's considered part of the house. It's not like, you know, a desk, a stender, or a chair. That's not part of the house. That's a utensil in the house. But a refrigerator, which is such a large appliance, is considered part of the house for different halachic applications also. So inasmuch as it's part of the house, if you would be putting something, a magnet, on a fridge, that's attaching something to the house, that could be a question of boner. So other than that, just attaching two magnets together, lots of magnet games, those are definitely fine without question, yes.
With the sleeve and a drawstring?
Yeah.
What two separate items are you
getting? I really don't know the actual metzius of what those drawstrings look like. We have to just imagine for ourselves that you were tightening the weave. When they pulled that drawstring, they were probably tightening some part of the weave. The last, I really don't know exactly what it was. The modern poskim tried to figure out what exactly was this kind of drawstring that the Mordechai was talking about 700 years ago, 700, more than 730, 750 years ago. What kind of, you know, maybe you could find on, you know, Wikipedia, look up blouse, on the history of a blouse, the history of a shirt. And you put a sleeve, and you could find out what the kind of sleeves they wore in the 1270s in France. And that will help us. Or in Germany, I'm sorry, right? He was killed in Nuremberg. So 1270s Germany, what the style of day was. Yeah. Any other questions about this point? Band-Aids, yeah.
Can you Can you stick together two parts of the same thing, like take two sides of Band-Aid?
We'll talk about that in a minute. Yes. The next issue, after we talked about opening the wrapper, we talked about taking the white tabs off. We're now going to talk about putting the Band-Aids on the body or on itself. So if it's going to be applying the sticky part, we'll call it the adhesive, to your skin, that's clearly considered very temporary, and it's going to be mutter. So I am permitted to take a Band-Aid, and I think we might be familiar with from our own practice, and put a Band-Aid on my body. There are two reasons for this. First of all, I said the very fact that it's on your body is indicative of its temporary stature. You'll see what I mean by that in a minute. And secondly, there's another svara. There's a whole discussion, which we're not going to go into, what the status of connecting. All of the discussions that we've had until now primarily were connecting paper to paper, fabric to fabric. What happens if I want to connect, glue, sew a fabric to a hard material, a fabric to a piece of wood? Is that called tofer? So that we never really discussed. We didn't really discuss it. So here, Rav Vosner from B'nai Brak, from Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, suggests that that's going to be mutter, and therefore when I put a piece of fabric on my body is considered, my body is not like a piece of fabric, it's not like a piece of paper. It's a hard, or at least it's a hard surface. It's a solid surface as compared to the, you know, fabric or paper, which could rip easily. And therefore, it's not considered tofer, it's not considered sewing or attaching or gluing if I take something soft, paper or fabric, and attach it or glue it to a piece of wood, to a tabletop, to my skin. So those are two separate reasons why I'm allowed to glue. That's what we're doing. When you're putting on a Band-Aid, you're gluing the Band-Aid to your body, either because it's your body, so it's temporary, or secondly, the second piece of logic, the second svara, that it's attaching something soft to something hard, that is, does not constitute tofer. Like, give me 1 minute, and then I'll take a question. That all applies to attaching this, Band-Aid to your skin itself. However, when you're going to take a Band-Aid, and this especially applies to the finger, when you take a Band-Aid and you sort of run it around, you want it to stay on your finger, if you put it just on that finger, it's going to fall off. But if you attach it to itself, you stick it to itself, it stays on better. There's an issue. What's the issue? What are you doing? You're gluing one piece of paper, one edge of the Band-Aid, to another piece of paper. That's classic tofer. Is it temporary or is it long-term? Let's think. What happens when you have that ring? You know what I'm talking about. You have that ring around the top of your finger. If you cut, you're slicing, you cut the top of your finger. What happens when it gets loose? What do you do with it? You disattach it? No. It either falls off or you take it off and throw it into the garbage. How? While it's still attached, the edge to the edge. So that's not temporary. It's permanent. So on both counts, you're in trouble. You're attached what to what? You're attached soft to soft, fabric to fabric, Band-Aid edge to Band-Aid edge. That's real gluing paper to paper. That's classical tofer. It's classical sewing that the Rambam told us. It's not just sewing with stitching, it's also gluing papers together. And B, is it soft to hard? No. I'm sorry, I just said it. Soft to soft. And B, it's permanent. Because usually the way you deal with these Band-Aids is you just throw them out. You take the ring and throw out the ring as is. You're leaving it there in a permanent situation, and therefore it would be a problem. So, halacha l'maisa, when we put on Band-Aids, we are allowed to put on Band-Aids on our body, but not such that they rest on itself. It shouldn't rest on itself, it shouldn't be attached to itself. And yes, it will fall off more easily, so you just put them on more often. On Shabbos instead of once, you might have to put it on 3 times over a Shabbos. Question? Yeah.
I feel like this might be a different halacha, but how about liquid Band-Aid? Like the, so that you almost paint onto
it? Great question. I didn't look onto that, but I did see one of the posts can talk about using, maybe I shouldn't be talking about this, nail polish or nail polish remover to fix a run in stockings. I don't know so much about this, but what the Posca did say, that's a very wonderful solution. It's sort of a glue, I guess. And I don't know what they said. You're asking, you're really talking about gluing. You're asking, could you glue your body together? Is that what you're asking? So a liquid Band-Aid is glue, and you're gluing two pieces of the body together. That's essentially what we're doing, isn't it? Or is it just putting a coat to prevent...
Uh-huh.
I hear what you're saying.
So there's, if he gets that, so when was I was in Seder, I was learning the afternoon Seder last Thursday, about 4 days ago, Thursday, and I get a phone call from the house, and my wife says, oh, hi, the tunnel just fell and cut his chin open, and I'm not sure what, whatever. I sent some pictures to the doctor, and she said she can't really see the pictures. She didn't get the pictures yet, but if whatever, okay. So I told my chabrus I might not be back so soon. I went home, and based on whatever the doctor said, like this, the doctor said that if you look at the cut, and if two, thank you, sorry, and if two parts are separated, then it needs, then you have to take them in. So I took off the band-aid that he was wearing, and the two parts were separated. So we went to, I have to tell you, the good idea, an urgent care clinic. There's one here over here on 181st. We didn't go here because we called, they didn't have anybody to do stitching if necessary. On 84th or 88th and Broadway. It's called City MD. It was a fabulous experience, I have to say. Professional. And while we were there, the guy said I could stitch it up, and I asked, you know, it's on the chin, maybe is this the kind of thing that you have a plastic surgeon do? He said, would you like me to call one? I said, yes, please. So half an hour later, a Park Avenue plastic surgeon walks in and gives him, you know, 5 stitches on his chin. So that's one, I'm sorry that it happened, but if it had to happen, this is the perfect week to happen, because this is going to be a show, we'll talk about stitches soon, but we know that nowadays they don't just have stitches, they also have glue. Now the glue, when they glue instead of stitches, there, it's not exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about liquid band-aid, which I think what the people over here were suggesting, it's not to bring parts of the body together, it's more just to cover over in some kind of sterile kind of way to protect, you know, germs from getting in, I would assume. When a person needs stitches and they say, no, you don't really need a stitch, you can just glue it together, that's more like glue, real glue, just glue that could fit with your body's makeup, not makeup, in that sense, but your body's composition, that will be a question if there is tofer, if there's the halacha of tofer, this malacha of sewing and gluing applies to the human body or only to fabrics, which we'll see at the end of today, actually in 3 minutes, and right now, is machlokas. It's machlokas. So let's say that I want to glue a cut together, its parts are separated such that it would need stitches. Okay, it doesn't need stitches, that says you can get away with glue, you're putting the parts together. That would be a machlokas, if that's tofer, glue, tofer, same thing. Your question, if it's just liquid band-aid that just, it's a sealant. So, let's think. What would be the status of a sealant? It's liquid, it's not a cream, right? It's more liquidy, so we're not, it's not an issue of smoothing. Okay.
Does it harden?
You're saying if it hardens, it would be like Nolan?
Maybe.
You're not making it harden. I don't think it would be Nolan. You're not making it harden. It just hardens by itself if it does. I've actually never used... I've never used it before, so I'm not intimately familiar with how it looks, works, but I assume that it could be okay on Shabbos. I don't think it will be this issue of glue, because you're not gluing, as we discussed. Stitches, by the way, are real stitches. So therefore, if you assume that there's no, this malach of tofer just doesn't apply to bodies, you know, it applies to fabric and paper, but not human bodies, which is something that we could all readily understand. So then there's no problem. But it's a gigantic machlokas, and therefore if a person does chas shalom need stitches on Shabbos, it should be done by a guy. That would be mutter. And we'll talk about, let's talk about right now, what about butterflies? Butterflies, the poskim do talk about it. Not so much that it happens all the time on Shabbos, but it's a, just a fun application of tofer in a real sense. Gluing, the Rambam told us that when you glue papers together, glue things together, that is also sewing tofer, and it's on the body, and it's a, so band. So butterflies should also, how do butterflies work? Butterflies, and this is actually an important point, because Shlomo Zalman, Shmiras Shmas Kilchasa has a very interesting perspective about butterflies. Let me ask you, is the purpose of a butterfly... What is a butterfly? I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize. There are band-aids.
Ones that are like open on the...
So, give me... A butterfly is. On one hand, there is something called a band-aid.
On the opposite extreme, there are stitches. For cuts that are in the middle, that sort of do need stitches, because the body, the laceration is such that the parts of the skin have been separated, not just that they got cut, but they were separated and they need to be pulled together, you could apply a special kind of Band-Aid that's much, much, much stronger and that has some kind of pull, some kind of tension built into it that it sort of pulls the parts together, called a butterfly. A butterfly, it looks like a butterfly because in the middle it's thin and there's more, it has like wings that are a little bit bigger than the middle bridge, sort of like a bridge with two bigger parts on the side. You attach the big part on one side to one side of this cut, the big part on the other side to the other side of the cut, the bridge goes over the cut and sort of pulls it together, and sometimes you can get away with not needing stitches with this butterfly bandage. Okay? That's a butterfly. So the poskim talk about butterflies and they say that should, is that gluing the body together? We talked about glue should be a problem, at least if you hold that there's tofer, this malach of tofer sewing applies to bodies, so gluing should also be a problem. But Shmuel Shraus Kilchasa has a beautiful, beautiful perspective. He says, what's the purpose of this butterfly bandage? You're not gluing, the butterfly bandage, it's not glue, it's a band-aid, but it's not connecting the body, it's just holding each thing in the right place, close in proximity. That's not connecting. Let's think for a second. What are you doing when you glue something together or when you sew something together? You're uniting. You're making one. A butterfly, Shlomo Zalman says, very with incredible, you know, perspective, you're not uniting something. You're not connecting anything. All you're doing is you're holding it in close proximity. What connects it? What makes it one? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brilliance in the way he created the human body to heal itself. Again, forget the religious aspect. You know, I could say it with my Yom Kippur, maybe it'll be better. You know, the point is not that Hashem is great. The point is that all a butterfly does is just holds things together. It's not doing the actual fusing of the two parts of the cut as glue would do or as sewing would do, which fuses two things together. It's not what the butterfly does. The butterfly bandage just holds the two parts of the cut nearby one another so that the body could itself, you know, heal itself, which I think is a brilliant perspective. And therefore, based on that story that I just shared with you, the Shmir Shavas Kilchasa says that butterflies would be permitted. That is the discussion. So any questions about band-aids and butterflies and stitches? So stitches, a guy should do it. That could be a real question of a Melacha D'Oraisa. I mean, stitches, anyone who's had stitches, they're real. It's in the same way you go, you sew a, you know, button onto your shirt, that's exactly stitching. It's the same exact thing, yeah.
What if there is no guy available?
If there's no guy available. Stitches, I would assume, would be, again, it'd be stitches probably are an Issa D'Oraisa. Real stitches are an Issa D'Oraisa. If there is stitches could be Pikuach Nefesh. If there's a loss of blood and you need to put the thing together to prevent loss of blood, then Pikuach Nefesh, of course, do whatever you need. But a lot of times that's not the case. It's more of a concern for a scar. And if there's no risk of life, then that would not, concern for a scar would not warrant Chil Shabbos on a D'Oraisa level. Perhaps not even a Suffolk is a D'Oraisa, because we said that the body itself is a Machlokas, might still not warrant Suffolk Chil Shabbos either. So I would assume that a person should not, you know, if a guy is not available, then get a guy, anyway. In Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, right? In Eretz Yisrael. What do they do in the hospitals? What do they do in the hospitals if you're a... What do you do if you're a plastic surgeon? We had this guy, this nice plastic surgeon that they called to come to this urgent care center. Was a Jewish fellow. There's something called bageling. Rabbi Becher, Mordechai Becher has this term when he speaks, like, whenever you who look clearly Jewish and a non-religious Jew associates with you and they want to, like, tell you that they're Jewish without actually saying, oh, I'm also Jewish, but they want to sort of, so he calls it bageling. So, you know, my little tunnel has his tits flying out all over and his kippah, and I look somewhat Jewish. So he was saying something like, oh, my kids, I also have a 4-year-old and 5-year-old. Oh, yeah, they're in the JCC in, you know, on 76th Street. Okay, thank you, got it. So what was your question again? Oh, what if you're in Eretz Yisrael? What do the plastic surgeons do in Eretz Yisrael? That's a good question. And this goes into a general question about doctors and hospitals. Let's assume he's not in the hospital, because once you're in the hospital, things are a little different, because you have to sort of, there are pikuach nefesh things in the hospital, so let's avoid hospital. Let's say a plastic surgeon lives down the block from you in Ramat Beit Shemesh or in Rechavi, wherever you live, and there's no guy that you're going to be able to get your son to for this cut, and you want to take it to the guy down the block. I actually, when I was in second or third grade, one of my friend, not really a friend, one of my acquaintances, you'll see why he's not a friend, lifted me up by my feet and twirled me around, and I said, let me down. So he did, on my face, and I needed stitches on my lip. So my pediatrician actually lived two blocks from me, so he put me on his dining room table, and he was in Vietnam. So he took his medical bag from Vietnam, I think it was Vietnam, and took out, stitching hasn't changed in the past 100 years. It's a needle and thread. That's all it is. So he stitched me up on his dining room table. So let's say that happens, and you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's no one else. It wasn't a Shabbos morning. I think it was a Sunday morning. We have to do some research. Good question.
If you're removing a Band-Aid on Shabbos, not like one that falls off.
Great.
Like for example, like I know you're not really meant to like take out hair.
Exactly. Excellent question. The poskim talk about this specifically. When you remove a Band-Aid on Shabbos, that's not this week. This week is sewing, connecting. Korea, ripping, will be a different malacha. Now, taking out hair is a different malacha entirely. It's not even ripping, because ripping is ripping two pieces apart, paper or fabric apart. That's korea. Pulling off hair is gozes, shearing. So you think of shearing wool? So here you're shearing yourself. Right. So poskim do say that you should not, if it's a Band-Aid in a place where there's hairs that are presumably going to come off, even though that's not your intention, that would still be a psik resha. Psik resha will happen automatically, even though that wasn't your intention, and that would be a problem. So you should not remove Band-Aids like that in such a part of the body where it will definitely remove hair. That's a good point. If it's a part of the body, if it's a situation that it may or may not, that might change the halacha. Thank you. Okay, so let's try to finish off with diapers. Diapers, similar to Band-Aids, have also almost the same concerns, but a little bit different. Three concerns. First of all, diapers have tabs that you open it up, you put it on the baby, and you attach the tabs to keep it on the baby. So first of all is opening tabs. Is that korea? Is that ripping the tab apart? Like we talked about the white tabs from the Band-Aids, so opening tabs. Then there's the second issue of adhering the tabs onto the baby to keep the diaper on, and then when you're finished with the whole thing, you change the diaper, now you want to throw it out, closing up those tabs again to keep everything, especially if it's a really dirty one without getting too graphic, keeping everything from falling out and from smelling up the house, putting the tabs on again. So let's talk about those three issues now, but before I start, I just want to make one thing clear. If you ever see a pack of diapers, they are compressed very, very, very tightly in the packaging. And sometimes you sort of wonder, maybe I can't even take a diaper out or separate one diaper from another or open up the diapers because they look like the paper of the diaper is still attached at the edges to the other diaper or to itself. That's really not true. It's just pushed together, pressed so tightly together, they sometimes feel like the pieces of the diaper are attached to itself. It's not. It's just the pressure. You definitely could separate one diaper from another diaper. You could open up the diaper. We're only talking about taking the adhesive tab off. That's the first dispensation. Second dispensation is there are different brands of diapers. Some of them have, it's not really Velcro, but it really is Velcro. The tabs themselves, if you put your finger on it, it's not going to be sticky. It's going to be fuzzy. And then the other part, right, it takes two to have Velcro. You need two parts. So you have the fuzzy part, and then you have the other part of the Velcro that sort of sticks to the fuzzy part. That is totally mutter. Velcro, like we talked about last week. Velcro, what was the French root? Velour, crochet, right. Right, which means hooks, fabric hooks, something like that. Velvet hooks. So, hooks for velvet. So, Velcro is mutter. That Velcro thing is just the way, again, on an almost microscopic level, they're just hooks that are hooking in. That's definitely mutter. We're not talking about that either. We're talking about sticky. Again, you have to check which brands are sticky, which brands have this more of a Velcro-y type of adhesive. Velcro adhesives are without a question. We're not talking about that. That's definitely mutter. Our question will be, what happens if it's a sticky, a glue, that holds those adhesives on? So, taking off those tabs is going to be the same issue as we discussed earlier, which is taking off the tabs, the white tabs, of a Band-Aid before Shabbos. So I said before that it might be a little bit better to take off the white tabs before Shabbos if you can, and obviously, you know, sterile concerns do exist, sterility concerns do exist. So if you have the ability and the time and the presence of mind to undo those sticky diapers before Shabbos, that's great. Rabbi Sabalovsky, who gives a shiur every year to the Smicha students about this, among other topics, likes to tell the story that he used to do this, and I say used to, for the following. Until at one point in his life, he had two kids in diapers at the same time, and it was an Erev 3-day yontif. And he found himself trying to, you know, untab two tabs of every diaper for 3 days for two kids, and at that point he just gave up, and he, since then, has been makel. To like those shitas who say that you'd be allowed to unstick them because it is considered temporary because the Mr. Pamper, Mr. Hugs, Mr. Loves wants you to unstick it so it's not considered permanent, and assuming that temporary sticking and unsticking is okay, there's what to rely on. So again, if you have the presence of mind and you have the time, it's great to untab those tabs before Shabbos. If you can, all the power to you. In terms of putting it on the baby, you know, diapering a baby and then putting the tabs on, so here you're sticking it. Let's think about that for a minute. You're gluing, right? You're gluing. What? How long are you gluing for?
A few hours.
So that's definitely temporary. But we said temporary is not, you know, it's still a little bit of a machloka, still maybe you should avoid, but there's something more. It's not just temporary. It's temporary also with an added component that you sometimes open and close them more than once. What do I mean by that? Let's say before benching, you know, in my house, let's say we're about to bench and, like, you're not allowed to bench if there's a dirty diaper. So something smells a little fishy, maybe not fishy, something like something else, and you sort of check, is the diaper dirty? So you sort of can't tell. So what do? You quickly untab, you look inside, it's clean, close the tab back up. You know what that's sort of similar to? What we talked about last week. Opening up a door and closing a door. Does anyone say that you built a house or you took apart a house when you opened and closed the door? No, because opening and closing a door is called not building or dismantling, it's called using. The difference between using and creating. So when you glue or unglue the diaper on the baby, that's using it. That's not creating a glued thing or creating an unglued thing. You're just using that derech tashmisho. That's just the way of the use, and that's not going to constitute gluing or tofer. And therefore, for these reasons, that it's definitely very temporary, and you could also open and close it, that's their tashmisha. For these two reasons, it's definitely going to be mutter to put a diaper on a baby, as you probably knew before you came here tonight. What you might not have known before you came, and if you did, that's also great, is the following point. When diapers are going to be disposed, here there's more of an issue. Here, some posts can suggest that when you're closing up the diaper, again, the goal of closing up the diaper is twofold. A, you want to make sure that stuff doesn't fall out by the time you get to the garbage. And even after it's in the garbage, if it's closed and you put the tabs around it, it sort of keeps the smell inside much better than if it would be open. So if those two reasons, you like to close up the diaper after it's being used when you throw it out. So that's permanent. Once you talk about permanent, that's permanent gluing. Gluing is tofer. That sounds like a bona fide problem. Is there any way we could permit even closing up the diapers as you throw them out? So there's a fabulous svara that the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa brings an incredible proof. Just listen how incredible this proof is. What I saw is I was like on a high. I'll tell you the story, but the proof to this logic is the incredible thing. Not the logic. The logic is as follows. The logic is that you really couldn't care less about the fact that this tab is, these tabs are closed. You really just want to get it, you want to throw the whole thing out. You're not really interested in it being glued together. Yes, you are gluing it together so that you can throw it out, but you're throwing the whole thing out. If you're throwing the whole thing out, that shows you don't really care about it. Listen to the proof. Hilchos Yom Kippur, in the Beis HaMikdash, to the horns of the Sa'ir La'Azazel that was thrown off the cliffs in the Judean desert outside of Yerushalayim, they used to tie on Yom Kippur, a string that was red that would turn white. How could they tie a knot on Yom Kippur? Is it ever going to be untied? No. But what are you going to do with this Sa'ir La'Azazel? Throw it off the cliff. So how could that be mutter, to tie that knot? It must be. What do you see from that, says Mariel Diskin? That's quoted in the Shmir Shas Kilchatz. Mariel Diskin was one of the great poskim in the beginning of the 1900s, I think. He moved from Israel, from Europe, I think he finished his life in Israel. He said the following, I think so, that you see from there that when you do a malacha and you're going to be throwing it out soon, that makes it, even though it's permanent, right? You tie it or not, that's never going to be unknotted. But since you're throwing it out, that makes it that we don't care about it. That's considered that's considered temporary. So therefore, in our diaper situation, yes, you are going to put the tabs on it, and they are going to stay that way till it gets to the landfill, until it decomposes 7 years from now. That's permanent. But your whole goal is to get into the garbage, get it out of the house, and throw it out. So that could make it considered. The very fact that you want to throw it out, that you don't care about it, makes it considered temporary, and therefore it would again be mutter according to that logic. That's what Shlomo Zalman suggests. So, between you and me, even though Shlomo Zalman does come out lahakel, even to close up those diapers for that reason that you don't care about it, halakha l'maisa, this the poskim do urge people when you throw away a diaper to, you don't really need to just put those tabs on. Close it up without putting, you know, without closing it so well. That's what I do after I change the diaper. Yes, I do change diapers on Shabbos. Wrap it up without putting the tabs on it, leave the tabs unadhesived because it is somewhat permanent, and throw it out like that. This logic that I just shared with you about Yom Kippur, Sa'ir La'Azazel, notwithstanding, which would permit it, but nevertheless, it's still better to not put the tabs on. That is the end of the diapering discussion. Any questions before I finish tonight? Yes.
This might be related to what you just said, but I thought I heard, like, garbage ties. I know it's kosher, but when you're tying garbage bags, you shouldn't tie them because they will be untied if it's going to stay. So that's considered, like, a permanent knot. So but it wouldn't, according to that logic, it would be the same thing, right? Because it's garbage.
According to this logic, that sounds correct.
So it'll be the same.
But according to this logic, again, I'm just thinking out the logic as we're saying, that sounds like that would be correct. I wouldn't do it, but according to this logic, this is somewhat, you know, very. What I just shared with you is very creative. When I throw out my garbage bags, I do a single knot on Shabbos, a single, you know, just over and under.
Pull.
I don't make a double knot on Shabbos. But you're right. Perhaps Mikra Hadin might be Mutta because you're about to throw it out. Shows you don't care. That might make it, even though it's physically permanent, that might be conceptually temporary because you don't care about it. That makes it as though it's temporary. Even though physically it is a real knot, that might be true halachically.
But unless it's better.
I would avoid it, but you might be right. Any other questions? Okay, terrific. Thank you so much. And Bez Hashem, next week we finished kosher tonight and we'll go to another malacha next week.